Okay, we're in John chapter 3. This ain't got anything to do with the lesson, but this is, if you want to raise drug addicts, I thought I'd read this to you this morning, since you got a little baby, so it'll help you to raise. If you want to raise a drug addict, then this will help you. He says, I found this the following in the Methodist Recorder to be quite interesting. I think you'll read his word also. An official in the police department in Houston drew up a list of 12 rules for raising drug addicts. Number one, begin with infancy, to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he'll grow up to believe the world owes him a living. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. This will make him think he's cute, and he'll also encourage him to pick up cuter phrases that will blow off the top of your head later. Number three, never give him any spiritual training. Wait till he's 21, then let him decide for himself. Number four, avoid use of the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later, when he is arrested for stealing a car, that society is against him and he's being persecuted. Number five, pick up everything he leaves lying around, books, shoes, and clothing. Do everything for him so he'll be experiencing throwing all responsibility to others. Number six, let him read any printed material he can get his hands on. Be careful that the silverware and drinking glasses are sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage. Number seven, quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, they will not be too shocked when the home's broken up later. Number eight, give a child all the spending money he wants. Never let him earn his own. Why should he have things as tough as you have them? Number nine, satisfy his ever craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that ever sensual desire is gratified. Denial may lead to harmful frustration. Number ten, take his part against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. They are all prejudiced against your child. Number 11, when he gets into real trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, I never could do anything with him. And number 12, prepare for a life of grief. You'll be apt to have it. I thought that's pretty good about raising drug addicts. You let them go, they'll go. All right, John chapter 3 and verse 1. That's how we'll pray. We'll start. Heavenly Father, I pray that you fill me with the Holy Spirit this morning. Help me, Lord, to teach your word, Lord. Open it up to us and show us things out of it, Lord, that we can use, and help us to grow and help us, Father, to go on this next week, Lord, and be a better witness for you and live for you better and live a holier life, Lord, than we did last week. And I pray that you just direct us, Father, through your word and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, that's really connected to the last part of verse John chapter 2. I'm going to read 23 through 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. See, Jesus knew exactly what man is and what he was up against. That's the reason he didn't commit himself completely. Now, I did go over all that last week, didn't I? I believe I did. All right, you come to verse 1 now, 3:1. Verse 25 said he knew what was in man. 3:1 says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. old nigger man one time said he knew that his people was in the Bible. because of that name, Nicodemus. Okay. Y'all just don't appreciate good jokes. I don't know. yeah. Okay, 3:1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man, he was a religious leader, see? He was over part of the, in a Jewish religion, like maybe a bishop or something in a Methodist church, or maybe a bishop in a Catholic church, something like that. And he was one of the rulers. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, he says he came by night because he didn't want anybody to know, you know, that he was a religious leader, and Jesus out walking around, you know, he had some authority, and he was in the upper class, the people there, and Jesus is walking around the countryside, didn't even have a place to lay his head at night. But he came to, that's the reason he came to at night. He didn't want anybody to know. He was interested in him, but he didn't want anybody to know exactly what that he was connected with Jesus Christ. So that was, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. If they knew that he was a teacher come from God, it looked like they'd believe what he said. It looked like they would have. He said, we, when he said we, he's talking about the Pharisees. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's not necessarily so. That's a statement that he said there. But the devil's going to do some miracles in tribulation. So you can't always go by that. And a lot of things, the devil do a lot of things this day and time to get the ecumenical movement going and to get people all connected so that they'll be ready for the Antichrist in the tribulation period. Now, what you notice, he's very polite to Jesus. He said, we know, he's flattered him. See, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, he didn't say, thank you, how are you today? Nothing. He said, except you're born again, you ain't going to heaven. See, so he just turned right around just like that, rude to him. Impolite. Jesus was more polite to that a woman at the well who had five husbands, and the woman she had lived with then wasn't her husband, see, was more polite to her than it was to this religious leader. That shows you something. God hates religious phonies and religious people like that. So he hates that. He'd rather have somebody that's plain and doesn't put on any airs at all, you know, about what it just says, what it believes, and goes on. The first thing I want you to notice about this is that he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Every time I read that, I think about the nigger woman that had twins, you know, and she called the two twins B. Riley, B. Riley. Y'all just saying, y'all must be early in the morning or something, y'all just saying. You ain't with me today. Verily, verily, I say, and they except a man be born again and cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is, in the Bible, you know, the kingdom of God, it can be two things. When Jesus is on the earth, both the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are operating. Now, the difference is the kingdom of heaven is a literal, physical, visible kingdom that's going to be set up on this earth at the 1,000-year reign. The kingdom of God is within you, the Bible says over in Romans. And in Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy and peace and something other in the Holy Ghost. So that's a spiritual kingdom, see? So you got two kingdoms here. But it says, see, now, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that seeing is in a thousand-year reign, you'll be able to see it. When you get in there, Jesus Christ will be here on the earth, and he'll be ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. And both of them be operating in. All right, verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except any man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So what it amounts to is there's two things there. You can see it, and you can enter into it. Now, in this period of time we're in right now, we enter into it. When a person receives Jesus Christ, he's saved, he enters into the kingdom of God. Whenever, then at the second advent, he can see it. See? Now, back to verse 4 again. Let's read it again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? If he is honest, you know, when he came to him, if he was really honest and he really knew he was a teacher from God, instead of acting pious and like he knew something, he would have said, how can I be born when I'm old? See, instead of putting it on somebody else. It should be for himself, because it's a personal thing, if he's really wanting to find out something. Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Of course you can. Can enter in there. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water baptism and of the Spirit. They don't say that, see. That's what everybody wants to read into it. Every time they see water, they say baptism. Every time they see baptism, they say water. They're not connected. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It's not a there's a water baptism, but you go under the water. But this is not what that's talking about. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 5:26, and this is I'm going to give you the teaching on what they say this is, what this means. This is the way all these fundamentalists do, and just about everybody else, unless they believe what the text says. They go to Ephesians 5:26, and they say, that water is the Word. You're born again by the Word. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the Word. The context of that is, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now, what you notice, I ain't talking about anybody getting saved. That's about people already saved and getting cleaned up and sanctified after they saved, see? But that's what they do. They take that and pull out, because it says washing the water by the Word, then they run over here and they say, that's what that is. That's the Word of God. Because they're afraid of the Campbellites, you know, because they say that that's water baptism. Instead of taking what the context is what you want to go by, let's look at the context. Jesus answered. All right, first time it's talking about birth, first birth and second birth, verse 4. Can he enter in his mother's womb and be born? First birth, right? Jesus answering what he just got through saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, explanation. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You got, look at verse flesh is flesh, verse 6, verse 5, born of water, verse 4, into his mother's womb be born. I mean, it's all connected right there, see? You have to take verse 5 and just pull it all the way out of the context completely in order to make that the word or something else other than make it water baptism or something other than what it says. It's talking about the first birth. Now, how do you know that's the first birth? Well, a Jew, if he was, he would know by several things. Genesis 1:20. Turn to Genesis 1:20. And that's where life came from in the beginning. 1:20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. See? The waters bring forth the life. Whenever Adam was formed, he was formed the dust of the earth, but he had water mixed in there too. See? There had to be water in there. Your body is 90% of liquid, see? That's what your body is. Real high percentage of liquid. All right, turn to Proverbs. Yes.
That
is in
the
one Genesis 1:20.
I always thought that's just talking about the
sea. The moving
creature
and the fowl.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Okay. What was that? Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5:15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let the fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. So, now you look at this verse and read here now. You think about this, talking about a man and his wife and his children now. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. One man, one woman, see, your wife is not to be shared with anybody else. Let her be, let's see, verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed, let thy fountain be blessed, the water, your wife's womb be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And so on, going down through that. It's talking about, it's likening children to water, and a wife, and it's, you know, life coming from a woman and a man, one man and one wife. All right, back to John 3. John 3. Now, like I said, you take what the context says and don't worry about anything else. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's got to be, no other way you can do it, that's got to be connected with the water up there in verse 5. There's no other way you can do that. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, unless you want to just jerk it completely out of its context. Look at verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8, now this is connected with that. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and goes where it wants to. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. All right. Now, if that's talking about water baptism, then you can control water baptism, see. You take a man and you say, I'm going to baptize you. Right? You ready to get baptized? I'm going to baptize you right now. and you dunk him under the water, and you control when he gets saved. But, the Campbellites believe that when you stick that man under the water, then the blood's applied. See, the blood of Jesus Christ is shed. That's what was applied in that baptism pool. Okay? You control that. But here it says you can't control it. The wind blows where it listed. It's like in the Holy Spirit. It's like the wind. It's likened to the wind. And you don't control the Holy Spirit. You don't know where he is. You know? I mean, he's everywhere, but you don't know exactly where he is. And a person's not going to get saved until the Holy Spirit's dealing with him, convict him of his sins, you know, where he's ready to do something. And then he'll ask the Lord to save him, or he'll, by faith, go down. Now, verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? It's a mystery to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Makes fun of him, see? You mean as smart as you are with a PhD and a what's that, pile higher and deeper, and a DD, a doctor of devilment, and a BD, a Bible dummy. Got all those degrees, see, and you don't know how to be born again? He should have known it. Turn to Psalms. If he knew his Bible, turn to Psalms 22. The prophecy on the new birth here. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's talking about, see, that's going through it. This is on the crucifixion. Verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, yeah. He's going through hell, see. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raven and roaring lion. Verse 13. I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. And so on. All right, now. This is Psalm 22. Now look at verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born that hath done this. For a generation. That it accounted to the Lord for a generation. The Lord is going to generate people, see. Generate is... birthing people, see. So that's a prophecy on a new birth. So, look at over in Daniel. There's another verse. Daniel. A people that shall be born. Yeah.
Is right.
Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds. Son of Man. See, that's a term that's not used. That's talking about Jesus Christ, capital S-O-N. See. Son of Man. He wasn't a son of man then. He won't be a son of man till he come through Mary. He was God back then. He was the angel of the Lord back then. But he wasn't a son of man until he went through Mary. See.
What is that, Daniel
7:13. Okay, back to John chapter 3. John 3 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou master of Israel, knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. You know what? This is Jesus talking here. You know what he said? He said, we speak that we do know. What's he talking about? We. He ain't talking about the disciples there. He's talking about the Trinity. That's a plural pronoun there, just like it uses over in Genesis. Let us go down. Let us make man in our image. See, that's showing the Trinity there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If I have told you earthly things, earthly, physical, fleshly, see, first birth. If I told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things, spiritual things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. All right? Now, it says ascended. That verse there, when it says, now, Enoch ascended, or he didn't ascend, but he went up. Elijah went up. We're going to go up. So that's that they went up, and it said no man, but it said no man hath ascended up to heaven. So what's that talking about? It's talking about going up in its own power. Turn to Isaiah 14. That word ascending means going up on his, under his own power. Jesus went up into heaven under his own power because he's God. We can't go up on our own power.
That's a verse old Armstrong used, saying people don't go to heaven when they die.
Yeah. But see, he's a BD. Bible dummy, see. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. He ain't done it yet. He ain't going to either. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's the devil, see, talking. I will sit upon the mount of the, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But this is what's going to happen to him. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So he's saying that he's going to ascend, see, but he didn't do it. No man has ascended. And no devil either, because you can't get above God.
Well, how does he, when he goes to the Lord and says, look there what Tommy's doing, how does he do that?
He's already up there. He's saying, he wants to get above, he wants to be up above the third heaven, up above God there on the top.
But he can't ascend that far.
Well, in just like we can climb up to the mountains, he can fly up so far.
Oh, okay.
You know, going back and forth, and God give him that ability to move back and forth upon the earth from heaven to earth. Okay. That's not talking about the same thing. See? All right, verse. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, all the other Bibles leave out those last four words there, which is in heaven. Now, you know what that is? That's attacking the deity of Jesus Christ. He's in heaven, just like we're sitting in heavenly places right now, see? Because the Holy Spirit's in us, and he's connected, and the Holy Spirit's running all the way out through the universe and up there in heaven too. So we sitting up there with him. Now we can't realize that until we are raptured and really get a glorified body, but we're there. and he's in heaven right now too. In there, he's saying he's in heaven. So when they take that out, they're teaching a lie, taking away from his deity. All right, we'll stop there till start back in verse 14 next week. Dismissed.